Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, so glad to be with you once again, and the Lord is still the King of Kings and has the last say of what goes on. And he's getting ready to come back, and it won't be too long. All the prophecies are being fulfilled right in front of our eyes. You know, some of the prophecy that Israel would come back to the land, that they would be setting up a world government, which they're doing right now. And they're working on that. And the opposition to God, and God's laughing at them because when they set up their world government, he's taking it, going to take it over. And he said, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. And Zion is the mountain that Jerusalem stands on. That's why the whole world is being divided around Jerusalem, and their tension is focused on it. And God is behind that also. And so today we thank the Lord we're here. You know, the other day, I get personal here, we had, my eyes were having problems. I was couldn't see very well. And yesterday I went to Cleveland Clinic, and I had an operation, and Dr. Wynn Morley at Cleveland Clinic, and you know, that is a very famous hospital, and of course, a lot of the wealthiest people go there, but they have doctors that will pray for you before the operation, and so my doctor, she said, would you like me to pray for you and even give you a scripture verse? I said, sure, I'd be glad about that. And so she had prayed for me, and she prayed a good prayer and prayed right. She prayed in Jesus' name. And so today I can see. And I was just looking at my shirt, and I can see it, and it's dirty, to be personal. But anyway, we're here in the studio, and I have with me here Marv Bassinger. He's a Sunday school teacher at the Columbia Road Baptist Church, where I attend, and then Pastor Al Davis of Richfield Bible Baptist Church. He's here also. He's a great blessing and a help to me. And I'm going to ask him to say something if he has some announcements to make about his church, okay, and his program. He has a radio program.
Well, thank you, Bruce, and glad you went through the surgery well. We are certainly praying for you, and thanks for letting me fill in for you last week, too, where you had some of the tests and stuff done. But I'm Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and we have a radio program live with Pastor Al every Friday afternoon, 1:30 till 2, and every Sunday night from 11 until midnight right here on this station, AM 1220. And you can find out more about us at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. But also wanted to point out, too, that we have a website for Bruce's program here, and that's whereisgodsword.com. And if you want to find out more about Bruce Musselman and maybe read his article that he wrote on the King James Bible many years ago now, and that was back in the 1980s, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, that's available on there at whereisgodsword.com. And also you can hear him singing on there, and you can hear him preaching. And there's also information about how you can get a set of CDs. It's a 6-CD set on the Bible and prophecy and church history. I had it right here, and now it's disappeared. I can't find it here.
You know, that interests me because church history, and some people don't like it, but it tells a story of individual people. And Bible-believing churches have been here right from the time of Christ, and a lot of people don't know too much about this, but on these CDs that I've done, we did it at Columbia Road Baptist Church, and there was, I think, 6 Wednesday nights in a row, and we went from the time of Christ all the way through to the present. And we gave the history of Bible-believing Baptist churches that believe like we do today here. I mean, they had the true Bible, true text. In fact, the King James Bible that we promote here came from the text that was given to them by the apostles, and those churches copied it.
Mm-hmm.
And they were believed in the premillennial teaching, salvation by grace through faith in Christ. and they were always here. And so in that thing, in that group of CDs, I think it's about six, about 40, 45 minutes a piece, we give that history. And a lot of folks don't know anything beyond their own church, but it is fascinating to read the story. And many of them were martyred for Christ. But today, our today Bible-believing churches today, they come from that time. And they followed the New Testament teaching all the way through.
And I'd point out that if they want to get a taste of you preaching and teaching on that subject, there's a video of you preaching on the history of the Bible and Baptists right there at whereisgodsword.com. So if they go to whereisgodsword.com, they can find this information.
Well, thank you very much. And it's amazing what modern technology does. I want to say this. Our program is upholding the Bible, the King James Bible, as the Word of God. You know, I hear sometimes on television or radio, they'll talk about standing for the Word of God, but then as soon as they get done doing that, they correct it. They say it should have been translated. It's a fortunate translation. They'll say things like this. Well, they're going directly against the words of Jesus Christ, because the Lord Jesus Christ stated, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. If you say that what you're reading is the Word of God, then it is true. And the Bible says that Jesus said himself, it says, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. We do not believe that the King James Bible, which is God's Word, is partial truth. It's all truth. And when you read it, despite what a lot of people will say, you are reading the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And that's what we're upholding. And that text has come down to us when the King James translators, there's about 47 of them, it ended up with seven of them had died after they started. They were using texts that had been copied by Bible-believing Christians. They used the italic texts, and that was manuscripts, the old Latin. The first translation was made into Latin in 200, long before Jerome made his translation. They were using the Koine Greek text, which was copied by Paulicians and came down to us. And from that time, from the apostles, they used the Syriac Peshitta. And it's called the Antiochian text, all of them together called the Antiochian text. Well, Antioch was where the missionaries came out. And they used those Bibles to translate from into English. And they used to tell this story, and they keep telling this old story, and then everybody's supposed to laugh, you know. But they said, the old lady said, she said, well, I believe in using the Bible that Paul used, the King James Version, you know. And then everybody's supposed to say, well, you know, it was translation, and Paul didn't use that. But she was closer to the truth than you would a lot of people would know, because the text that the King James is translated into came from Antioch of Syria, and that's the name of the text. And it's the same text used by the old Italian Latin Bible, by the Syriac Peshitta, Aramaic Bible, went into China, Koine Greek Bible. All of these have the text that is behind the King James. The modern versions come from less than 1%, and what was put out by a semi-Gnostic, or also is known in the history books, a Neoplatonist named Origen. And it's called the eclectic text because this 1% of the evidence disagrees with itself in so many places. For instance, Vaticanus and Sinaiticus are ancient Bibles used for the modern translations. They didn't come out to 350. And the ones that I mentioned came out a lot earlier than that. And they disagree with each other, 3,000 words in the Gospels. And God's Word, it says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. If you read the Bible, you see God is, he emphasizes the words. Every word is true. Every word is God's word. The Bible says the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them. Somebody says, How can this be that we have it after all the translations and all the time gone by and man messes up everything? Well, it says, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And so we have God's word. Our God, the Lord Jesus, the Bible says he upholds all things by the word of his power. and the stars move within a fraction of a second. And a God that's that powerful can keep his words. And so we have his words today. When you read your King James Bible, you are reading the very words of Almighty God. He said, with men of other tongues will I speak to this people. And so God made language in the first place, and he has given it to us. And when you hear somebody correct it, just remember the words of Jesus. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. That's a present tense word. And God is always in the present as well as the past and the future. And so we can hold it and we can believe it. Jesus said he will guide you into all truth, not partial truth. And so these people that correct the Bible, you know, God calls them Nicolaitans. They want you to go to them rather than to the Word of God, or trust in them rather than the Word of God. And Nicolaitan means to conquer the people. And so they conquer that. Well, you can't really know it unless you're a scholar. They're wrong. And Jesus said, search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. And you can read your Bible and you can know more than some of these Greek teachers. You know, when I first started to do research, I went to a seminary and talked to the head of the Greek department. And he gave me a paper, and it shows how much he knew the Bible. And he gave me this paper, and the paper said God never said he would preserve his words. Well, I never remember anybody ever teaching me that, but as soon as I read that, I knew it was wrong, because all these verses just started to come to my mind that I had read in the Bible. You see, if you read the Bible consistently, read each chapter two or three times, but read from Genesis to Revelation, and read it consistently, read it every day, you'll be able, there's all kinds of cults out there, every kind of a crazy teaching that you can imagine, but you'll be able to know what the truth is, because God's word is truth. And you won't even have to have somebody to tell you, you know, you'll know it. So we call this program Equal Time, because so much of the time you're hearing these Bible correctors. They're Nicolaitans. They want you to go to them. And God says he hates the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, to conquer the people. So, but today, we have here in the studio, of course, Brother Al Davis, and then Marvin Bassinger, and he's a brave person, because I asked even some different preachers to come on here, and I think they're intimidated by this getting on the radio, but he's brave, and I asked him to give his testimony and tell us something about how he got saved. And so, Marvin, you got it right now.
Well, thank you, Brother Bruce. It is a privilege to sit here and listen to you, and I thank you for the opportunity to speak of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says that we're being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I praise the Lord Jesus Christ for his word, because it's by his word that was preached to me at a little church in Rocky River by a humble man by the name of Paul Mills that I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. And my wife got saved shortly after that too. And I praise him for his word. And the Bible goes on and says that his word will endure forever. And I praise the Lord for that, you know, because without the word of God, how would we know anything about Jesus Christ? Brother Bruce mentioned a scripture there in John chapter 5, verse 39. It says that the scripture testifies of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ says that about himself. So I praise the Lord that there was a time when somebody preached to me, and that word of God spoke to my heart, and I trusted him as personal Savior. Then now I know, as the scripture says, that I will have a home in heaven when I die. And I praise the Lord for that. You know, and I praise the Lord that he gave me an opportunity to go to a local church Bible institute. And Brother Bruce taught there, and I went there because he taught there, and I praise him for all the things that I was able to learn at that time. And I don't make an apology. Let me make a shameful plug for the Columbia Road Baptist Bible Institute that we have now. We meet on Monday nights. We start a new trimester on March the 9th. You can go to columbiaroad.org and look that up if you're interested in taking some classes that will train you and teach you the Word of God through the King James Bible. And forgive me if I'm making this shameless plug, Brother Bruce. I thank you for
your
opportunity.
You go ahead. I'm glad you did. And where is Columbia Road Baptist anyway?
Columbia Road Baptist is in North Olmsted, Ohio, 4116 Columbia Road. And like I say, the website is columbiaroad.org, and you could find information there, and you can find a registration form. This trimester we have three classes, a ladies' class, and then we have another class we're going to be teaching to church epistles. Brother Moses Yoder is teaching that class, and we're going to be teaching a class on Nehemiah, spiritual leadership on Nehemiah. And we have a curriculum that's a four-year curriculum that rotates, so you can come in and start at any time and go through that curriculum. And we have people that teach these classes that have lived the life. They have been pastors or pastors' wives. We have a class for ladies only that is taught by a pastor's wife that has experienced the ministries. And, you know, they're just not book learned. They've lived the life of the Word of God and lived the life of a pastor, and they're good people to learn from.
I'm glad you mentioned that Bible Institute, and that's where the problem dealing with the Bible is taken care of, because Christ trained his own apostles, Paul trained his own people and his own preachers, and in the New Testament it was local churches and local pastors that trained them. It's where the seminaries was started by Origen in the first place. They taught heathen philosophy, and most of them still teach heathen philosophy. Heathen philosophy includes a wide variety of stuff, including psychology. And God didn't tell us to use psychology. We got the Word of God, and that's good enough for everything. And so it's local churches and local pastors that should be doing the, according to the New Testament teaching. And a lot of these big seminaries, they teach you to correct and sit in judgment on the Word of God. But the local church Bible institutes, they will teach you to preach the Word of God, not sit in judgment on it. And I want to say this once again. You know, if you say that it's the Word of God, and I hear on television people saying, we stand on the Word of God, the next minute they're correcting it. They'll say it should have been translated this way. If it's the Word of God and they're correcting, tell me, who are they correcting? They're correcting God according to what they say, because if it's the Word of God and they correct it, they're correcting God. I mean, don't you see? You see that?
Right.
Doesn't that make sense? I mean, mm-hmm. That's, you don't correct God. You believe what he said. And so we have the Word of God, and we give in this program many reasons why. And we say that we're equal time, because so much of this Bible correcting is going on, and they don't know what they're talking about. They're just showing off. 99% of the ancient manuscripts, which were copied by Bible-believing churches, back up the readings of the King James Bible. And there's hundreds of these ancient Bibles in museums in Europe. And some Christians have bought a number of these Bibles, and they line up with the King James. God preserved it. People say, well, where was the Word of God before the King James? Well, it was there. They had it, and they had it in different languages. But yet the text basically lines up with the King James Bible, and that's why the modern ones come from the Gnostic origin, who is a Neoplatonist also. And they have all kinds of corruptions, and we have a lot of good books out going into detail about this issue. Everything has been answered. And so that's what our program is about. Now, I would like today to start off by talking about a prophecy in the Bible about the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them they testify of me, for in the volume of the book it's testified of Jesus. You know, when you go to a foreign country, you have to have a passport. It tells where you were born, when you were born, what you do, and all these details about you. And you take out your passport and give it to them as you go into that country. Well, I'll tell you what, Jesus had a passport, and he had 39 books in his passport. It told every detail of his life, and the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled every detail right to the very T, and every single detail was fulfilled by him. In fact, in the book of Daniel, it talks about it, and it mentions that Jesus would come 483 years after the order to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. He would be cut off, but not for himself. That is, he would die, and the people, the princes, should destroy the city. So every one of them happens 483 years after the order to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Jesus walked in on Palm Sunday, and the people met him. And then he was cut off. Why? He was cut off for our sins. He died for our sins. And then it says the people, the prince should destroy the city. And so the city of Jerusalem was destroyed after Jesus died. And so it tells all the details about him. But there was a Ethiopian that had come to Jerusalem. He was a Jewish proselyte, joined the Jewish religion. And he was going home, and he was a high official in the government of Ethiopia. And Philip met him, and he was invited to come up in the chariot. And he was riding with him, and he told them what we're going to read right now and talk about. And he preached Jesus to him. You know, if you witness to people and they don't accept it, just use the Word of God. People tell me, well, I don't believe the Word of God. Use it anyway. Now, I believe that we should defend it. That's what this program is about. But when we're talking to people, no matter what they say, use it, because the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. So just don't worry about that. Just sow the seed all the time. That's what Jesus said. Preach the gospel to every creature and give them the message that Jesus died for our sins. That is, he was punished for every sin we ever committed. And one day we'll meet God without any record that we've ever sinned, in tremendous joy, exceeding joy, because we have put our faith in Christ as our Lord. That's to be in charge of our life, and our Savior, the one that died for our sins, was buried, and rose from the dead. Now, the Bible talks about this in Isaiah 53. It says, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Now, the first thing, have you believed the report of Jesus Christ? It determines where you spend eternity, heaven or hell. Have you believed it, that Jesus died for your sins, that he was the Son of God, that he bodily rose from the dead, and that you don't have to be punished for your sins? Have you believed that report? Well, if you have, say to Jesus, "I accept you as my Lord, my Savior. Please forgive me." And then it says here, "To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Jesus said, "No man comes to me unless my Father draws him." And so the Bible teaches that God has revealed himself to us in Jesus Christ. And sometimes he does it through people telling you about Jesus, but then the Holy Spirit will back up what you have said, and he will say that's the truth. Listen, when Jesus said that when he gave the commission to go to all the world, he said, "All power is given unto me. Go therefore." And he has given you the Holy Spirit. And when you tell people about Jesus, and I see it all the time, when I witness, I see that the Holy Spirit is just working on people and saying, "That is true, that is true." It's just not an ancient story, but it is real life. The Holy Spirit is backing up those words that you talk about Jesus Christ and saying it is truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." And he said, "Thy word is spirit and life." The very words of God are the spirit of God, the life of God. Now it says, has God revealed himself to you? You know, one day Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he said to them, "Who do men say that I am?" And they had a lot of different ideas that men had stated. Today there's all kinds of ideas about Jesus. Finally, Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." And so I heard the story of one young man, and he was people witnessing to him, and it didn't get through, but he went bowling in Garfield Heights, and at the end of a bowling game, he all of a sudden said to his friends, "I see it now. Jesus died for me." And Jesus is the Son of God, and he died in your place. You don't have to be beaten by the angels when you die. You don't have to be punished. You can meet God with great joy without any record your sin has ever, that you have ever sinned. "For he shall grow up before him," talking about Jesus, "as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, And particularly, he's talking to Israel, and Israel's the whole the same. But mankind, they have despised him because they have rejected him. And how do you feel towards Jesus? How do you believe toward Jesus? You believe he was the Son of God that paid for your sins? If you don't, you've despised him. You've rejected him. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. And so they criticized him all through his ministry. They finally spit on him. They beat him, and they put him on a cross, as the Bible predicts. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and was afflicted. And so the sorrow that we would have in hell, and the grief that we would have, and the lack of joy in this life, and the lack of peace in this life, and the misery of this life, he has paid for. And therefore, we can go away thinking about him and have peace in our heart and have rejoicing in our soul, because he has paid for our sin. And Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus said, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And you can tell him, Jesus, I accept you as my God. I believe you died for me. And right now you will have eternal life. And Jesus says, I'll never cast you out. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. But he was wounded for our transgressions. They beat him in the face till you couldn't recognize him. And that was prophesied. He was beat with the whip in the back until his back was full of blood. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And spiritually, the sorrow and misery we have without Christ is healed, because Jesus died for our sins and has given us all of the blessings of God, and they will be completely given when we go to heaven. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, you have a group of sheep, and everyone is traveling in all kinds of directions. And it says man is like that. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've gone every kind of a way except the way of God. Jesus said, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many that be that go thereat. Few that narrows the way to life everlasting, and few that be that find it. But sheep going in all directions. People say, why is there so many religions? Well, man is just making up his religions and following them. They say in India they have maybe a million religions or something, million gods. We have many gods in America. Just the God that's the imagination of man's heart. But in our King James Bible, we have the text coming down from Christ and the apostles, and it's the God of the Bible, the God that created us, the God that upholds the stars and keeps them moving within a fraction of a second, the God that has all power, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. He didn't try to defend himself. Jesus said, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. Jesus came to die in our place for our sins. So it says, he opened his mouth. He didn't try to defend himself. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. My people particularly refers to the Jewish people. The Jews offered sacrifices of animals, which could not take away sin, but was a picture of Jesus, who is going to be the final sacrifice. He made his grave with the wicked, with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. He never lied. That means he was perfect. And everyone has lied sometime or other, but Jesus never lied. Jesus said, which of you convinceth me of sin? He was perfect, the perfect Son of God. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. You don't have to be punished for your sins, because Jesus paid it all. No Christian is punished for their sins. They're disciplined to bring them into fellowship with God when they stray. But the punishment is paid 2,000 years ago. He hath put him to grief when he shall make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. When you accept Jesus, you're God's seed. You're God's children. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And we can rejoice in that. We are his children now. And Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I will no wise cast out. He shall prolong his days. That's talking about after he dies. It's mentioning his death here on the cross. It says he will prolong his days. He will rise from the dead. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. God's pleasure is for he is getting a family together. And he wants every one of you, no matter what you've done in the past, if you repent, you're sorry, you're willing to turn from your sin, you will become a child of God and join God's family. That's what it's all about. That's what the whole Christian religion is. God's getting a family together that he is going to take with him and be with him forever. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. All the suffering Jesus went through, he looks down here today at you. If you're a child of God, you have accepted Christ, and he's satisfied. He said, I'm glad I died on the cross. I'm glad I suffered for sin. I am happy about it. And it says, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Jesus was punished for our sins. And it says, by his knowledge. You see, that's what this program is all about. That's what the King James Bible is all about. It's the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You have to know about him to be saved. And Jesus gave Peter the keys. And what the keys were, the key of knowledge. He was the first one to give the knowledge of salvation to the Jewish people at Pentecost. The first one to give the knowledge of salvation to the Gentiles, Cornelius. And we today, if we're a Christian, we're a preacher, we're a Sunday school teacher, Christian worker, our job is to get the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Whether they accept it or not, it's seed, it's powerful. Just tell people all about Jesus. That's what we're to do. The Bible says, daily in the temple, in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus. And keep teaching and preaching him. Therefore will I divide a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many. See, the idea that Jesus died on the cross in this chapter is repeated over and over again in different ways. The whole Bible talks about Jesus dying on the cross, the Son of God, dying and paying for our sin, so that it says he is able to keep you from falling, present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. When we meet Jesus, it's going to be exceeding joy. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. There will be no record we've ever sinned. And he bare the sin of many, made intercession for the transgressors. Jesus prays for us, whoever you are out there. He's praying for you, and he is helping you. Made intercession for the transgressions. And so we thank the Lord that what a wonderful Savior we have. And the Bible says even when we get saved, it says he will confirm you blameless to the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. The day of Christ is always connected with the rapture when Jesus takes all his people out of this earth. And when we go out of this earth to heaven, God says that Jesus will confirm us blameless. There'll be no record we've ever sinned. If there's anything better than that, I don't know what it is. I think that the message of Christ is so good that no human being could have ever even invented such a thing or thought it up. And now are we the sons of God, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. And King David, who believed this, he said, I'll be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. We'll wake in a supernatural body like Jesus Christ. And even King David thousands of years ago knew about this. So we can praise him every day and tell everyone we can about him. Well, it's time for an announcement, and so we'll have that at this time.
Can teachers at a public school take part in student-led religious clubs? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My question is regarding high school clubs. A Christian club just started meeting this present week, and I wanted to know, does the administrators within the school have the right to tell the teacher that's advising this club or sitting in with them, whether they're official or not, does the administration have the right to tell the teacher she cannot be involved at all or speak about the club when she's there with them?
Well, here's the rule on that. It has to be student-led and student-initiated, and the teacher's role is what's called a custodial monitor. That is making sure that everything's in order and organized, but they can't actually run the event or participate in it. That is an event that is supposed to be done by the students, to be student-led and student-initiated. So the teachers have to play a very limited and distinct role. That's why you have those rules in the Equal Access Act. Great resources, by the way, on our website at aclj.org.
Find out more at aclj.org.
That's aclj.org.
Our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with joyful shouting. Hi, I'm Chuck Swindoll. Listen to what follows in Psalm 126. Then they said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." I love that. Among the nations, they were telling of all God had done. Among the peoples, they were laughing and they were joyful. Talk about infectious faith. Talk about a contagious, winsome testimony of God within. Testifying of God's great work. Laughter, joy. Good signs that the King is in residence in a heart.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
All right, Pastor Al Davis has something to say, and he gives a report on science in the Bible, and the Bible, of course, written by God, and it's perfect, and it has many, many interesting things. I think I just steal a little bit of his time and say this. The Bible talks even about airplanes, and it says in Revelation, we've said this before, but it's just an amazing thing. God's writing this Bible. He lives in history, past, present, and future. It says, "There were given unto her the wings of a great eagle, and she did fly into the desert." You think about that. It's written by the Apostle John in Revelation. That's not an airplane flight. I don't know what is. And so it's just another proof of the Word of God. Okay, Pastor Davis.
All right. Well, thank you, Bruce. And also just let you know, too, that if you want to give a call and talk to Bruce here about some of the things we've been talking about, you can call 216-901-0933. That's 216-901-0933, or toll-free 888-677-9673. That's toll-free 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here with Bruce here in just a moment if you want to call in with a question for him. And I just wanted to share something. There's a number of things in the Bible which are kind of interesting when you look at it. And I was thinking about something here. There's a couple verses in the Bible. And let me just start here with this verse in Psalm 104 and verse number 2. It's talking about God, and it said, "Who covers thyself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain." And over in Isaiah chapter 44 and verse number 24, it says, "Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, and that spreadeth out the earth by myself." And there's about 17 verses where there's some idea, the concept of the heavens being stretched out. That's kind of interesting because we know from Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And I was reading an article, actually a couple of articles recently, that were talking about different things that scientists were looking at as in trying to understand how the world came to be. And it's amazing that scientists all agree that there was a beginning. That's first and foremost, certainly. And Genesis chapter 1 gives you that. In the beginning, God was already there. He created the heavens and the earth. But the interesting thing is that even scientists who believe in the Big Bang, that they reject the Genesis account of creation, they believe that something happened which in the very, very beginning of the beginning, the heavens were stretched out at an extremely rapid rate. In fact, they suggest that the heavens were stretched out probably at a rate that was, probably many times greater than the speed of light, if not thousands, if not millions of times, depending on the theory that you're looking at. And how did this get stretched out at this great rate? People don't know exactly the mechanisms for that. It violates all the known laws of physics. But yet, here it is in the Bible several times, and I just read in Psalm 104, verse 2, and Isaiah 44 and verse 24, that God says he stretched out the heavens. And from the people who reject the idea of a creator, that believe that the earth was stretched out, that the Big Bang stretched everything out, they admit that in the beginning, the heavens were stretched out at a fantastic rate of speed to produce the size of the universe that we see today. Yet the Bible says it right here, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, if man has an makes an explosion, you know, it turns into a pile of rubble. When God's Big Bang took place, it turned into something that was incredibly precise, incredibly complicated. And those stars running within a fraction of a second, it's just astounding and amazing. Only a great God like ours could do it. You know, the Bible says that great God lived on earth. That's Jesus Christ. It says
right.
All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And not only that, it says he upholdeth all things by the word of his power.
Mm-hmm.
We have a God that has absolute and total power, and he can do anything he wants. And man, he gives man a little rope, but then he pulls back on the rope and
right.
It's all over with.
You know, what you just said about Jesus and creating, I've had this discussion with Jehovah's Witnesses. Of course, Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe that Jesus is God. They even changed their Bible and altered it on the writings of a defrocked Jesuit priest who, by his own testimony, or Johann Gerber, who by his own testimony got the translation from a demon, basically a devil. By his own testimony, he got this, and they changed the Gospel of John chapter 1 from in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, to in the beginning, you know, was the Word, and the Word, what was in the Word was a God, but they changed it from the God to a God, and they made Jesus a created being. And so the Jehovah's Witnesses teach that Jesus is actually Michael the Archangel, and this is what they tried to tell me. They tried to say, well, God, Jehovah God, created Jesus, and then he used Jesus to create the universe. That's why it talks about Jesus, you know, being the creator. And I said, well, that verse there that I just read in Isaiah 44 and verse 24, I said, then that would make that verse a lie, because it says, thus saith the Lord, and that's Jehovah, it's all capitalized, thy Redeemer, which is who Jesus is, the Redeemer, right? And then it says, and he formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things. And then it says, I stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spread abroad the earth by myself. And he said right there, God, Jehovah God, spread forth the heavens alone. He didn't have any help. And so he couldn't have created Jesus as Michael the Archangel, a created being, and then used him to create the heavens and the earth, and then said, I stretch forth the heavens alone and spread it abroad the earth by myself. That would have been a lie, because he would have done it with Michael the Archangel, which the Jehovah's Witnesses call Jesus.
I remember years ago that I started to read some Jehovah's Witness books. Not that I ever got into it, but of course they attacked the idea that Jesus is God. Then I went through the New Testament, and I just saw verse after verse after verse, point blank, states that he is God.
Oh, absolutely.
And
yet, it couldn't, you know, be clearer.
So they're rejecting the word of God. The Bible says God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And the pastor of the church at Antioch, he quoted that, and he was a martyr for the Lord Jesus Christ in about 100.
Mm-hmm.
And the received text has come down to, it's about 99% of the ancient church fathers, and the manuscript evidence states this, and our King James is based on it. We have today, with these Bible correctors, they don't even know where they're getting the information a lot of times that they use to correct it. But we can trust our word, because the Bible says the words of the Lord are pure words. Silver tried to first purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. I know I quote this a lot, but maybe some of you will start remembering it, you know. And we ought to believe that we have God's word. The people put out these corrupt translations, they don't believe it's the word of God. But we, millions mm-hmm. today, believe that we have the word of God in the King James all over the world. And they believe that and they trust it. And there's thousands of churches in the United States and all over the world. The pastors believe we have the word of God. And that's what we give this program to. We want you to believe that so that you can trust it. It says, in thy word do I trust, not in some preacher or some denomination, but in you trust in the word of God.
Right. Let me give a sort of a hostile witness to the truth of the Bible. There's a famous astronomer, physicist by the name of Robert Jastrow, and he died in 2008. He was leading figure in NASA Apollo program to put man on the moon and founding director of the Goddard Institute for Space Studies. And he is supposed to be an agnostic, okay? Not a Bible fan, not a Bible-believing Christian, but he said, this is what he said, and this goes along with what I was talking about. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He said, now we see how the astronomical evidence supports the biblical view of the origin of the world. The details differ, but the essential elements in the astronomical and biblical accounts of Genesis are the same. The chain of events leading to man commenced suddenly and sharply at a definite moment in time in a flash of light and energy. And that's God right there, right? In the beginning, God said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light, wasn't there?
That's right.
We've got a couple of minutes left in the program. Bruce, there's a caller calling in. And we okay. can probably get them here in just a moment.
If you're there, we...
I think he's still handling the phone there. And we'll get the caller there in just a minute. And, of course, we appreciate our caller here today. And we have Deborah calling in for you.
Deborah, you're on the air.
I wanted to call and thank you for your wonderful program you had on last week, Dr. Stauffer. And I repurchased another copy, the same copy of One Book, One Authority. And then I bought the second book that he had, One Book Stands Alone. And they were delivered in 2 days. And I wanted to thank you for that and for your program, and as well as Pastor Al that you have on too. He's very good as well. And I'm glad that your eyesight is better.
Well, I sure thank you. And, you know, I appreciate the prayers of everybody. You know, that reminds me, I appreciate all of you praying for this program.
Oh,
you know,
yes, that... and your eyesight as well. And I always pray for you. I pray for all the pastors as well. But in special needs for special times, I say extra.
Well, I thank you very much. Thank you so much for calling in.
You're welcome. And that One Book, One Authority is excellent. One Book Stands Alone is excellent. I've had one, but I needed a second one to give out as a gift. So I thank you. I'm so good. We're so excited he was on your program. I said I was trying to rush to the phone and trying to get my credit card and everything. Yeah, so I thank you.
Yeah, there's a number of great authors that have written these books, and so that's why we're trying to get this information out, and that's one of the reasons we have the program. We're upholding the King James, and the books that come out are really good. And
yes. Mm-hmm. And Noah Hutchings, that's on, he has a lot of books out, too, and he's very good as well.
Oh, yes, I listen mm-hmm. to him, and I like him very mm-hmm. much.
Okay, I thank you so much. God bless.
All right, thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
You had the courage to call in. Okay, we have anybody else there?
I think that was our only caller there. And, of course, the book that she's talking about by Dr. Stauffer, you can find that link if you go to whereisgodsword.com. You can find the link to his books as well as Gail Riplinger's books. They're all right there. And I don't know if we have much time for anything else with that, but we're coming up on the last couple minutes of the program, so go ahead.
Well, you know, we could say a few of the scripture verses that talk about God preserving his word. Can you think of some right now?
Well, certainly the big one is there in Psalm 12. 6 and 7, you know, where God promised to preserve his word from that generation forever, and it's his words that are preserved. I know the modern versions try to attack it and turn the words into his people as opposed to his words, but I think it's pretty evident that it's his words that's being talked about there.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And some people wonder why we make such an issue of words. Well, God makes an issue of words. And so we thank God that we have his words. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So it's easier for the heavens and the earth to disintegrate and pass away, but God's words will not. Why? God keeps them, those words. And he says, I've honored my word above all my name. The Bible that's been honored above even the name of Jesus is the King James Bible. Before the astronauts went to the moon, they got a King James Bible out while the world was watching and read, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And so many scripture verses point to the King James Bible as God's word. Well, I'm glad that you listened today, and God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.